thumbs up that we can start recording and we'll get started. All right, there we have it. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to all of you to the Combined City Council and Redevelopment Agency meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council that's sitting up here next to me. We appreciate these great public servants and all they do for our community. Thank you to all of you for your service. We have our administrative staff here with us, as you can see, seated all around us. And, I thought, it's interesting where you sit. I mean, we've got this elevated seat here, but to me, it really is just simply a metaphor for reality that you're the ones that hold us up and make us look good and keep us afloat. Thank you for all that you do to keep the city running so well. We appreciate all of you. Welcome to members of the public who are here with us. Any who are here in person, we appreciate you being here. Any who are joining us online or who will watch this later, we welcome each of you and appreciate you being here. We're going to open this meeting tonight with a thought by a resident, Britt Montemayor, and we appreciate you answering our call to have residents come and participate. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm a resident here of Daybreak. And I feel privileged. I have the attention of the audience. But first, I want to say I'm thankful for the opportunity to open tonight's meeting with a thought. And it's all about listening to understand. So in the last decade or so, there's been a decrease in people's desire to understand each other. It doesn't help that the forums where we engage are often one way. Many of us went through some kind of training at work or in school about listening to understand and not listening to respond. Yet once we're face to face, I see that people, myself included, I'm working on that, when we are face to face, that we don't ask questions when someone has an opposing view or even a view that we agree with. We're triggered by their view, we let bias take the wheel, and we instead try to either rebut or diminish it or pass by it. We don't want to ask questions because we assume we know, especially with the topics that we're most divided about. We also don't want to take the time to ask questions. After all, we live in 60-second TikToks and 280-character tweets, and this is especially important in a government where leaders are pressured at every angle, and your time to engage is short. I encourage us to listen to ask questions. When we are triggered by something someone else says, listen to ask questions. Even if you think you know the answer, and when you get that answer, then listen to ask questions again. And if you're still triggered by the response, listen to ask questions again. There's a quote that I like that relates to this. When your mind is full of assumptions, conclusions, and beliefs, it has no penetration. It just repeats past impressions. In a world that's made dangerously close by 24/7 availability of information that flashes at us without requiring us to think, what we need is understanding and critical thinking. By taking the time to ask questions, you will take in new information and you'll allow the speaker to work through how they came to their viewpoint, and you open the door to understanding and change. Critical thinking is a skill few people practice, and without it, all we have is opinions. I believe at the foundation, even when we have opposing views, we can be good humans. And I encourage you, in a world of shouting, to ask more questions. Before I go, I just want to express gratitude for the work that you do for our city and for our community. And just take a moment to be thankful for everyone here and everyone that made it possible to be here. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I mentioned to Britt earlier when I met her, we put out this twice a year, this call to action, this plea for residents who might be interested in coming to participate, give a thought, help us open our meetings, participate, and we have very little response. Every now and then somebody will, but the response is pretty limited. And I told her it usually ends up being one of us that ends up doing that. And so thank you so much for taking your time to be here and share such a timely message to open our meeting. We just truly appreciate it. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to our Pledge of Allegiance, which we will have the privilege of being led by Councilmember Patrick Harris.
Everyone can please arise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. All right, the minutes from our April 18th City Council meeting and City Council study meeting have been sent out, the draft minutes of those. Anybody have any amendments or questions? And if not, can I get a motion to approve the draft minutes from our April 18th study meeting and council meeting?
It's been a while since I've made that motion, so I'll move that we approve the minutes from April 18th, 2023 City Council study meeting and April 18th, 2023 City Council meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Marmer. Appreciate that. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. All right, Mayor and Council report. Would you like to go first? Mr. Shelton.
Madam Mayor, before I give my report, were we needing to amend the agenda to add a
closed session?
I thought we were.
Look at Mr. Luce's face. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes, if you'd like to do that right now, that would be timely.
For litigation, is that right?
Yeah, motion to close the meeting. A motion at the end of the meeting to have a closed session for a reasonably imminent litigation.
Madam Mayor, I move that we amend our agenda so that at the end of our agenda, we add a closed session to discuss reasonably imminent, whatever, litigation.
Yeah, litigation. Great.
I knew I was in a mental lock there and would not be able to say
it's
it.
Good.
Thank you for sparing me that humiliation.
No, thank you, Mr. Shelton. Thank you. We have a motion to amend the agenda to add a closed session at the end for reasonably imminent litigation. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we will amend the agenda to add that item at the end. And now we'll turn to Mr. Shelton. You can go first, if you will.
That's great. So you all know I was unable to attend the conference, which I regret. And I was able to just hang out in my house for longer than I wanted to. But all's well now. And I attended our city's senior advisory committee meeting today. It was an excellent meeting, very well run. And there are a few things that I just want to report back to you. Our staff surveyed the seniors on what their most desired activities were. And with the idea of adding some activities, the number one choice is a trip to Wendover. So
they might as well shoot for Vegas.
And I think they might. So anyway, they're working on putting that together. So I just thought you'd appreciate knowing that. Yeah. Number two was a class on computers and cell phones. I might join that cell phone class myself. I figure I use about 10% of the capabilities of my phone. So. Anyway, they've also started a Spanish class and a crocheting and knitting class, and our manager over there, Jamie, is going to be touring the Orem Senior Center, which is apparently doing a really nice job soon to just check that out and get some ideas there. So it was a great meeting and good participation. We could use some more members of our Senior Advisory Committee. Just thought I'd let you all know that a former member, Cheryl Staley, lived out my neighborhood. She actually passed away April 4th while shoveling snow. Had some kind of medical event while shoveling snow and passed away. So anyway, that's my report here.
Thank you. How old do you have to be to take those classes? Like, probably not quite there yet, but I might be interested in that Spanish class.
Was that the Wendover class?
Or yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't think I'm old enough for that one quite yet, but the time may come.
Just wondering.
Yeah. Thank you.
Department's not going on the tour.
Thanks. It's good. Mr. Harris.
Sure.
Brad and I are old enough to take
Let us know how it is.
You have to have your card.
I don't have a card yet. I don't even have the mailer yet, but it's imminent. Like, it's coming.
You don't have the I have the mailer.
I don't have the mailer yet, but I met with somebody from AARP who said, wait, you have a significant birthday at the end of this year? Yeah, you'll probably be hearing from us. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I will be.
Yeah, it was 49, so, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Harris.
Okay, so I attended the South Valley Sewer District meeting, and everything's moving forward and everything's flowing properly, so we're good.
That's good.
So I did attend, I was invited to attend the Salt Lake Chamber's Giant in the City. Wilford Clyde with Clyde Companies was being recognized. It was a packed house. The reason I bring this up is because I had the opportunity to walk over, and actually Shari came and she dragged me over, said, there's the governor, Abby Cox, we're gonna go say hi. And so went over there and we did. And without any hesitation, he told me how great our city is. And so I just thought I would pass that along, that, you know, we had very kind words from the governor about how well our city is ran and that how much of a gem we are. So awesome. Thought I'd add that. And the Utah Leagues of Cities and Towns, you know, that was a wonderful conference. One thing I want to point out on the Utah Leagues of Cities and Towns is I think that we, when I say we, I'm actually not talking about the city staff. I mean, probably participated probably more than any other city in the state. I know I saw our city manager, Gary Watt, kind of were welcoming everyone in, and and I know he does a lot of things behind the scenes. We had a number of other people, Rachel, I know you were, taught a class, and Dustin, taught a class, and Gary, you taught a class, as well. So, I mean, I know there's a number of people that, all taught, well attended, and even in the classes that I attended as well, I also was able to see a lot of cities are going there to learn what to do. And a lot of cities are looking to our city, South Jordan, as a model of how to do things. And so it's just wonderful to see. We really are at that conference, I think. And made a lot of that, I know last year you were up front, and it's just that we've continued to hold that mantle where, we're really well respected there within the Utah Leagues of Cities and Towns. So I that's just something I just clearly was obvious to me. Yeah. So well done, everyone. Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
It's nice of you. Thank you. Great. We were so well represented.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Mr. Marler.
So I'll mention I have a few photos that are coming up on the screen here.
Good.
Yesterday was my granddaughter's fourth birthday, and my son and my daughter-in-law actually rented the pavilion right next to the All Abilities Park. And so I'm showing a few photos. It was a lot of fun. Almost everyone you'll see in these photos are South Jordan residents. And I mainly wanted to show a photo coming up, and there it is right there. I was very touched that a mother had her daughter who was obviously confined to a wheelchair, and that's a little kind of a merry-go-round for those who are in wheelchairs, and it was so touching that young lady was laughing hysterically. She was having so much fun at our All Abilities Park. And so I thought I would share that with you. There were a handful of individuals there in the park. This is the only individual that I saw that was actually confined to a wheelchair. And they later went up the the ramp and were doing things, manipulating this young lady with her hands. And I think really felt like she belonged. And it was truly for her as much as others that you can see in the background that were there able to swing and other things. She had a wonderful experience. And so that was the main reason I wanted to show that. And we can continue. There's maybe one or two other photos there, I think. And then I'll continue with my remarks. There's my granddaughter still in the All Abilities Park on a big finish or something there. So there we go. So it was a wonderful evening at the pavilion at the All Abilities Park last night.
That's a gem.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That might be your best photo we've ever seen.
Is that right?
Right there. I'm not saying why.
That was the cutest. That was
darling. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Continuing on, I'll just second Mr. Harris's comments on the Utah League Cities and Towns conference. I think it was a wonderful conference. I was able. My only regret, was that I did not attend Rachel's because I was attending Mr. Whatcott's presentation, and so some other time in the next life. I did attend Mr. Whatcott's presentation as well as Dustin Lewis's presentation. Both did just a tremendous job, a great job, and so I appreciated those. And I would agree with Mr. Harris that we are very well represented at the league, and I think a very well appreciated just by those who participated and had a great experience there. I'll also mention we did have Architectural Review Committee meeting this past week, almost a week ago, approved the architectural on two new buildings. One is a kind of a preschool daycare situation, and if you know where 9800 South is, just west of Redwood Road, there's a new convenience store going in, and there's going to be a building just to the west, just contiguous next door, that is going to be a very nice location for a preschool, kind of a preschool daycare kindergarten thing, and I think it's a great location for people as they're heading to work right there on 9800 South. So that's an interesting location. There's also a new building going in on River Heights Drive that's going to be a business condo building. I happen to work out of one myself right here in South Jordan. And so it's interesting. I think there were going to be 13 or 14 condos in that building. So there you go.
Where out on River Heights?
I think it's north over there, or south, not too far from Sportsman's Warehouse.
Okay. Yeah.
They're somewhere close.
It's across the street from Sportsman's Warehouse, the voice over here.
There's that one lot. Okay, I know.
Yeah, and they're building, they were building an EOS, however you say it, fitness as well across the street.
Oh, it's going to be right there. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a group that has done other buildings here, three or four, I think, Steve, in South Jordan. They're the contractor.
Yeah, the two that are just east of the La Quinta on South Jordan Parkway, they did those.
Same group, so they've done a good job already. And similar style architectural features. Was responding, I think it was just today, maybe it was today and yesterday, to a resident concerned about Jordan Ridge Park. I think Janelle from staff is dealing with that individual, and we had quite an array of individuals from all over multiple states without permit, as far as I understand, that we're playing there, and so some concerns. Thank you, Janelle, for working with Mr. Barker there. And that also met with Doug Young today over lunch for some of the things that he's doing for South Jordan. I'm very impressed, and I still think of him as a knight shining armor for some of the things that he's accomplished and still wants to do. Mm-hmm. So good for him. Thank you, Mary.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. On the 20th of April,
Not quite yet, but we're getting there. Hold on, you're good. On April 20th, I was asked by, Daybreak has two 55-plus communities. Springhouse Village is the furthest west community, and their HOA invited me to come and talk to them about the upcoming potential annexation, some of the growth on the west side, and downtown Daybreak, ideas of things that are coming there. So I was able to meet with about 20 residents that night at the Springhouse Village Clubhouse. It was delightful. They're a 55-plus community, and I found that most of the people in the room, a large portion, maybe 50%, have never lived in South Jordan, and some are not even from Utah. So it was a great opportunity to engage with them and help them know that Daybreak is part of South Jordan. And, you know, I know, they're funny. Answer their questions, and huge thanks to Melinda and Ryan who helped put that PowerPoint presentation together. Thank you, Melinda. They enjoyed it tremendously. And the little stickers that Brian Priest gave me, the Sojo stickers, they loved those. I gave away a couple Sojo hats. One of the gentlemen that I gave a Sojo baseball cap to, I saw him as I was riding home, and he had it on. He was proudly sporting his Sojo hat. So it was delightful. On April 27th, the mayor asked me to represent her and our city at an ARPA funds event. So the slide that you're seeing in front of you, I'm standing by County Mayor Jenny Wilson and West Jordan Mayor Dirk Burton. They had a PR and a marketing opportunity, a news opportunity for, I think, 7 cities in the southwest part of our valley. Gathered together, most of them mayors, a few council members, but Mayor Burton hopped on this backhoe that you can see behind us, and he started digging up dirt. The purpose was is that they've given these ARPA funds to the cities, and the cities are choosing to use them to conserve water and flip the strip. So this huge grassy area that you can see we're standing on is in West Jordan, and they have like these tremendous large spaces of grass that are completely not used. They're between parking areas. And he pointed at this vast area and said, we're flipping all of this. And
is this on the west side of their city hall?
It is exactly on the west side, between the ball fields and their city hall. Yep, that's where we're standing. So here's some of the other elected officials you can see there. Just awesome people in the southwest part of the valley. And then I just wanted to mention one of the things that was shared with me in the press release is that this project will total 9 million gallons of water saved, 412,000 square feet of turf removed, and over 1.1 million in grant money approved and used. There's Mayor Overson from Taylorsville and Councilwoman Tawny McKay from Riverton and me in the middle. So great event. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to represent our city, Mayor. That was terrific, and thanks for sharing the slides. The last thing I wanted to mention is kind of on a personal note, but it's about the growth of our city. On the 29th of April, my husband and I dusted off our e-bikes, and we hopped on and rode for several miles from our home to the west side of Daybreak. And we got on trails and looped all over the west side of Daybreak, west of Mountain View Corridor. If you haven't, council members, been out there recently, and staff, you really need to go for a drive, because if you wait 2 weeks, it's different than it was 2 weeks earlier. I was surprised, and I live in Daybreak. I went out there, and there's the Cascade Village, there's Highland Park, and then you go out another quarter of a mile, and there's a whole nother village, and then you go out another quarter of a mile, and you're sitting next to the dump and Lark Meadows. And I'm like, wow. And there was a herd of antelope that came by, and we had a delightful time on our bikes, weaving in and out. And the water course has water in some of it, if you haven't been out there. And that's supposed to be ready this summer, the water course out there on the west side. So if you haven't ventured to the west end of our city, my invitation, staff and council, is go out there and visit. Drive around and get to know the west side of our town. I'm so grateful that we approved Station 64. I'm so grateful that our public safety is out there, because there are so many hundreds of families out there that need that attention and protection, and I'm glad we chose to do that as a council. The last thing I want to mention is, as I rode my e-bike back with my husband, it was a date night, so I said we have to get food because it's part of the date night. We stopped at a darling little shop, Happy Teriyaki, by Smith's Grocery Store. We went in and bought some good food from this gentleman that's a business owner in South Jordan, Shop Sojo, hashtag. I met this gentleman, his name's Javier, doesn't speak any English, and I was so proud and engaging with him that he had the courage to start a business and to buy a franchise in South Jordan City. And I just gave him a little pep talk and a coaching moment as a business owner to a business owner. I said, hang in there because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming to this part of the city that are going to come buy food from you. But if you haven't been out there, go buy Happy Teriyaki from Javier. And if you speak Spanish, he'll love you. But I big shout out to just, I really am grateful to live in this city. And as has been mentioned, such great staff, such great structure we have for business owners, residents, everyone, and public safety. It just was heartwarming for me to ride my little bike out there and just see the vision of what's going on and how well the staff has really set us up to be successful as our city is the fastest growing city in the state. And I'm grateful to be a part of that. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'd like to start off by saying thank you to our wonderful Public Works Department. On the morning of April 21st, as I was commuting, discovered some graffiti along the bridges at Ochre Lake Road and Ochre Lake Road. Had that roundabout, and it was about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It was all cleaned up. I know there was some police involvement as well with it, but for us to just have it wrapped up that quickly and removed, I was just grateful. So thank you. You can pass that along to whoever, Jason. Attended an Arts Master Plan committee meeting. Already starting to receive some great feedback at the Spring Spectacular. There was a booth where residents could give input, and it looked like a lot of input was received, whole families participating, and that same opportunity will be available at Saturday's Art on the Town event that I mentioned in our previous meeting. And then just a little shout out to Harriman High School. There was a state poetry slam, and Harriman High ended up taking third place.
Nice.
Just thought I'd pass that on. Cool. That's everything, Mayor.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, I have never sent pictures, and I was feeling like kind of a loser, and so I said, like, I just texted a grundle of pictures, and whatever order they come up, and I don't know if there will be, like, 3 or 20 that you'll see. I don't know. Anyway, so I'll start out with the League Conference. That's President Randall, president of the University of Utah, who is a big fan of our city and looks forward to expanding their presence here, and I had the chance... I'm not 100% a has-been yet at the League. And so I, as immediate past president, was invited to be there to welcome President Randall and Tammy Pfeiffer and Tim Shriver when they arrived and to kind of be an escort to them and to hang out with them and spend time with them until they went out on the stage. And so that was a real privilege. But President Randall had a good conversation, and he said, you know what, I actually could really use a visit, like come out and have a conversation. One of the 5 different arenas that I'm over really is a community. We have a police department. We have, and I've never done a police department, you know. And so, anyway, he had some questions and wondered if he might be able to kind of maybe have a collaborative conversation to get some advice, you know, on overseeing some things that he hasn't ever dealt with as he's the president of the university now and has a breadth of a whole research park and practically a city with a police department and all sorts of things, you know. So we had a good visit, and he really respects South Jordan, and we might have to have a conversation and see if there's any advice we can lend. Anyway, Tim Shriver there, who was our keynote speaker with Andrew Gruber and I, and if you didn't get a chance to hear him speak, oh, my goodness, we got to track down the video. It was
good.
Amazing. It was so good. So good. It might already be on the League's website. I honestly don't know. I haven't looked, but we got to track it down. So this was some of us right at the start as we were hanging out, and Tim Shriver was in the behind the door right behind us, but we all stepped out for a quick conversation. So there's our very own Rachel. I did get the chance to go to Rachel's class, and my intention was to split my time since they had Rachel and Gary present at the same time. I did not split my time. No, Rachel fair. Was so engaging, and it was so good, and people were just eating it up, and people around me kept commenting to me and whispering to me and talking about how good she is, how impressive she was, how much they were learning. She's so good. Oh, you guys had to deal with that? Whoa, you know, and there was so much of that. I just thought, I'm not leaving. She really knocked it out of the park. Rachel represented us so, so well. And I don't know if you can tell, but she wore a green dress with a black jacket. I mean, it was winning. She was, I know. She was in her Sojo green. She did a really good job. So thank you for that, Rachel. This was at the barbecue that night with Mayor Fulmer of Vineyard and Rachel and I at the table while we were at the concert that night. That was at the Outstanding Educator Awards Banquet. That might have been an accident that got included in there. I don't know. Anyway, what a privilege that was. This was at the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District Member Agency Meeting, which I attended as a trustee. I couldn't stay for the whole thing, and none of the information is new. We've gone over all of this in our meetings as a Board of Trustees. But those are the water experts that run the water systems across the entire Jordan Valley Water District. Those are each member agency's experts, and we had our own team there. Jason, thank you, and appreciate you guys being there, and just a really great opportunity to interact with them. This was at the signing of the growth and transportation bill, the legislation, all of the bills that passed regarding growth and transportation. This was when the governor signed all of that legislation, and we were invited, those of us who worked as part of it and represent organizations that worked hard on it, had a chance to be there for the commemorative bill signing of all of the growth and transportation bills over this last session. This was a tender experience that it was in West Jordan City, that it was an honor to be invited to. It was the one-year anniversary of the passing of the young man in West Jordan who was hit and killed by a drunk driver on his bicycle. And Live Like Eli has become a popular mantra that a lot of folks are living by. And so this angel bike was donated, and his friends were able to paint it and place it there. And it was the sweetest memorial. And his grandfather, who worked so hard on legislation to change laws this last year regarding how many drinks someone can have and then leave and get behind the wheel, and having an element of accountability be upon the bar where they served the alcohol. If it's an excessive amount of alcohol, and there's a level of accountability that maybe hadn't existed before on the part of those that were serving the alcohol before somebody left and got behind the wheel of a car. And the grandfather, who, as I said, worked so hard on this, lives in South Jordan. He's one of our residents and worked very hard. And he partnered with another woman who lives in our city who lost a son to a drunk driver a couple of years ago. And they worked really hard with Ken Ivory to impact change and provide a safer experience on the roads for everyone. That was a very tender opportunity to be there, and Dan and I appreciated it. That's another one from the League Conference that they, I think Rachel snapped that one, I'm not sure, and one from the Women in Local Government lunch that we had and as part of the League Conference. And you'll see seated directly to my left is a very bright young college student named Miriam Luce, who got to come and hang out at the conference for a little bit with her dad, and she is a bright young lady with a bright future, and it was a privilege to have her come and spend a little bit of time and get to know some of the impressive women that we have serving here in the state of Utah. So I had the unique opportunity last Thursday night. I did not go to the Giant in the City Awards last Thursday night. I had the chance to go and accept an award on behalf of Wasatch Front Regional Council, who was named Employer of the Year for Women in Transportation for the Women in Transportation Network organization. It's a significant award and one that Wasatch Front Regional Council was very proud to receive, honored to receive. And Andrew asked me to come and be the one to speak and accept it. And I said, heck no, that's not mine to receive. You as executive director should do that. And he said, you as the first woman chair ever in this organization that's older than I am should be there to accept this award. It was an honor to be there and to join with colleagues in the transportation industry, bright, bright women and men who serve in the transportation industry across the state, and so many talented professionals. So it was really an honor to get to be there and to speak and accept that award on behalf of Wasatch Front Regional Council. Is that the end of it? Do you have any more? Okay. Is that good? Okay, good. I have a couple of other things. I did an interview with a researcher from Utah State University yesterday for an hour about what South Jordan is doing to promote water conservation and air quality, and protect the climate and the environment. And I felt good about how it went. She's doing a big statewide project, and I was proud to tell her what we are working on and some of the innovative things that we're doing here. And so I think that went well. Met with some residents, had some really good conversations. Today, attended the One Utah Summit. That was held in Davis County for the first time and was able to go and hear some really great presentations on what's happening in the state of Utah and what the future could look like. That's just a really great conference. And had to leave a little early. I wasn't able to be there at the end. The governor ended up having a funeral this morning and had his speech moved to the end, so I didn't get to hear that. But Brian Priest was there for that and said it was fantastic. So it sounds like it wrapped up as well as the rest of it went. So the One Utah Summit was great. Had a couple of meetings with the Larry H. Miller team just to talk about a few things that we're working on with our project and some strategy. I took, since my daughter and grandkids are in town for a couple more hours, took them for a tour of the Rio Tinto Kennecott copper mine. And we got to see an explosion, a blast happen. I've lived here my entire life at the foothill of that mountain, and I've never seen a blast happen. And it just was fortuitous timing. We just happened to be there at the right time, and they were announcing, you know, in 10 minutes they're going to do a blast. Look out here, stand here, watch that. It was awesome. It was really cool to see. And so we had a great time having our tour of the copper mine. And finally, I appreciate you going and representing the city at that event last Thursday. I was not available to do that because I was at graduation. So graduation went awesome. It was a great couple of days, Thursday and Friday. It was great. And actually, I have had KSL and the Salt Lake Tribune, which I don't actually know how they heard about this because the city didn't post about it. I didn't put it on my public social media. However, KSL and the Tribune have both reached out and are interested in doing profile pieces about it. Probably just because it's unique to be this old and busy and finish school at the same time. But anyway, regardless, that's nice. And if there's anything I can do to try to contribute to being an example to women that if they have followed a life path that hasn't led them to graduation yet, that it's never too late. So anyway, with that, it's been a really good 2 weeks. So thank you. And to anyone thinking, you know, it takes a long time for us to give these reports. It does. And I'm okay with that. Because I think the way that council meetings were structured before, the mayor did all the talking, the council got to weigh in every now and then, and there wasn't an opportunity to report like this. And so I appreciate each of you for all you do and your willingness to take the time to share this. I think it is important that the residents and constituents who have elected each of us understand better how we spend our time on behalf of the city. And I think they deserve that, and I think you deserve to get to talk about some of the things you're doing. So appreciate that. Thank you, all of you. All right, we're going to move into the public portion comment of our meeting. I don't know if I see anybody here in person, but we're going to open the public comment portion of the meeting and see if there's anyone who would like to speak. There is no one here in person at this point who's interested. Is there anyone online that would like to speak? If so, I need you to turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public comment portion of our meeting and move on to our public hearing items. We have item G1, resolution R2023-10 regarding the station area plan requirements for the UTA tracks at 4800 West Old Bingham Highway Station. We're going to turn to our Director of Planning, Mr. Stephen Schaefermeyer, for this. And this is what we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Thank you, Mayor. And sorry we had to pull that off. As we've been reaching out to WFRC, we're trying to understand ultimately what they need from us as they venture into this new regulation of station area plans. They're in the middle of doing actual station area plans with communities, and at least the Farmington one has been approved. What they haven't seen yet, though, is resolutions like the one that's here tonight. And so in our conversations with them, it was clear they wanted to see some changes. I went above and beyond what they wanted and ultimately sent it and said, let me know if we need to pull back on this. And they seemed happy with it. But ultimately, we recognize that this is the first of its kind, and so we were willing to obviously work with them. And it's the legislation doesn't necessarily spell out all the steps, all the things, all that WFRC and others are going to be looking for in these. And so it's a learning for us. So the resolution before you tonight is for an impracticability and prior actions analysis for the station at 4800 West Old Bingham Highway. So in cases where, and it's all laid out in the resolution and in the memo, so I can talk specifically about any questions you have, but in the case where we have single family neighborhoods that existed long before a station came through, we have existing parks and other infrastructure, then we are not required to go through the station to do a whole new planning exercise for an area that likely will not change very much. And the carve out in the statute is that a city can qualify for the station area plan requirements. They can fulfill those plan requirements if they identify conditions that make it impracticable to otherwise, again, replan an area, and or the city has taken actions prior to June 1st of 2022 that align with the goals and objectives of doing a station area plan. So this resolution before you tonight lays that all out, and if you approve the resolution, we'll forward it to WFRC. It'll be presented approved, hopefully. We've gotten they haven't pre-approved anything, but we've really tried to give them something that they feel confident can be an example for future similar resolutions.
Awesome. Thank you. I can tell you that both Farmington Station and the Salt Lake City Ballpark neighborhood have there been approved, and those are the only two so far. So if this does pass, my guess is that it could end up going before Regional Growth Committee soon, this in a week or two, and then before the council on May 25th at our next meeting. So that would be great for us to get the next one passed if that happens. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, let's open the public hearing on Resolution R-2023-10 regarding the station area plan requirements for the UTA tracks at 4800 West Old Bingham Highway Station. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak? Or is there anyone online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if anyone has any questions. Okay. All right, with that, I will ask if there's a motion on Resolution R-2023-10.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve Resolution R-2023-10.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. Any discussion? All right, seeing none. Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead us in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Awesome. That is great. It's exciting to have our first station area plan to be able to submit. And I do know that the staff at Wasatch Front Regional Council appreciates our collaborative working with them to make sure that this meets our requirements and is a pattern that they can send other cities in similar situations to and say, look at what South Jordan's done. You might want to consider following suit and coming up with something very similar for your area. So that's good. It's a great opportunity.
Mayor, I have to say it. I read through it. Seemed like a ton of work to say, hey, this area is already
qualified.
Yeah.
It was.
Seems like you ought to just be able to say existing subdivisions, check out Google Maps, you know?
Yeah.
It was. I don't need to go into all the details, but it took a while for me to wrap my mind around exactly what we were doing here.
Yeah.
So the next stations that we'll tackle are the Daybreak stations, and we'll try to come up with we're working on it currently. It will be a longer resolution likely than this one even for all the stations, and it will be based on prior actions, hopefully, because so much groundwork has already been done that even if we wanted to change it, we have a development agreement in place that kind of ties our hands in some ways, but we'll try to highlight some of the partnerships that we're taking forward. And again, you know, as I read the statute, what's required seems pretty straightforward, but understanding how we got that statute and what they actually need has been a learning for me. So,
awesome. You're very positive about this. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's go to G2, Ordinance 2023-07, amending Section 17.130.050, the PD Zone requirements of the South Jordan City Municipal Code, creating an exception to the requirement that the applicant enter into a development agreement in those instances where the applicant is actually the city of South Jordan. Go ahead.
Sure. I was looking at Ryan to, we'll tag team this as much as you need us to, but the ordinance is actually fairly straightforward. The PD Floating Zone seems to be the zoning tool that we use now probably 75% of the time. And so you're very familiar with that process. If the city ever wants to use it, because we're not exempt from our own ordinances, right? And so if we want to do something that's maybe a little creative or different than what is allowed under a base zone, then the city too can take advantage of the PD Floating Zone like other property owners. The challenge is reading the requirements, it requires a development agreement. And we don't sign development agreements by ourselves, with ourselves. So all the other requirements will be followed. The idea would just be that we'd attach all of that information to the ordinance so that it's clear what the council is approving. And then, of course, as staff, as with all developments, we make sure that that's followed. And if there's any changes that need to be made, we would obviously come back to the council on that before we just decide to make changes. So happy to answer any questions after the hearing.
All right, thank you. Let's open the public hearing on Ordinance 2023-07, amending Section 17.130.050, the PD Zone requirements of the South Jordan City Municipal Code, creating an exception to the requirement that the applicant enter into a development agreement in those instances where the applicant is the city of South Jordan. Is there anyone in person that would like to speak? Or is there anyone joining us online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and see if there's any questions. Okay, thank you very much. With that, is there a motion on Ordinance 2023-07?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 2023-07.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead us in roll call vote?
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. All right, item G3, we have resolution R-2023-24, adopting a final budget, making appropriations for the support of the City of South Jordan for the fiscal year commencing July 1, 2023, and ending June 30th, 2024, and determining the rate of tax and levying taxes upon all real and personal property within the City of South Jordan City, Utah, made taxable by law for the year 2023. We'll turn to our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu, for this presentation on our final budget adoption.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. As Mayor mentioned, this is the final budget for the fiscal year starting July 1, 2023, ending in June 30, 2024. And council adopted the tentative budget on April 2nd. And it was made available to the public for their review and advertised it, followed the requirements. Here we are today holding a hearing. And so as part of my presentation, I know Mr. McGuire had a couple of questions and Mr. Shelton had quite a few questions. I think, you know, they are great questions and brings... Wanted to bring a point here is that I know when we talk about the budget book, you know, a lot of us pretty much say, oh, yeah, I'm not going to look at it, or it's all numbers. But there's so much good information about the city. And some of them, we're not going to have time to talk about all of those, but anybody wanting to know about the city, financial, non-financial, statistical, how we operate, it's all there. So it's just great information. I'm just going to walk through a couple of questions. I want to address Mr. McGuire's first question. He pointed out in our budget, we are not funding for assistant city, or looked like we are not funding for assistant city manager position, but a deputy city manager position. That is not correct. We are funding the assistant city manager position. We just not updated that one spot. Deputy city manager position is temporary, and that will be that will no longer exist. Going to Mr. Shelton's couple of questions. I made a little tiny omission, which makes a huge difference. Talking about taxes, right? And this resolution adopts, part of this resolution is adopting the tax rate. Well, the tax rate itself does not account for inflation. And the rate is not meant to capture inflation. But in my one word, in my paragraph there, I said I omitted the word "not," so I put it back. So thank you, Mr. Shelton.
That's a good catch. That's an important word.
That is.
I read that sentence like three times. I thought that cannot be right.
It's almost like I'm contradicting myself. My heading says one thing in the very first sentence, right. And "not" is missing. Right. The next question was regarding administrative fees, and Mr. Shelton wanted to know what they are, or who pays the administrative fees. As you would remember, in our fund structure, we have general fund and lots of other funds. The way to look at it, they're all individual separate companies under one government umbrella, and they are treated separately. In governmental services, we provide service to those type of enterprises or whatever that is, a company, right? In a water fund, for example, if they were a separate company existing somewhere, they will have their legal counsel, they will have their finance, they will have HR risk and all those kind of things. And so being part of the city, our service departments, we provide those services to water department, and therefore they pay for that. So we have water, we have secondary water, storm drain, sanitation, recycling, mulligans, and the newly created IFT fund as well. IFT fund. So they pay administrative fees.
To the general fund.
To the general fund, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And just to go one step further on that, the state, there's a specific accounting rule by the state allowing us to charge that to an extent, as long as we can justify the services we're providing and the rate we are charging, and that becomes part of the yearly audit that we are doing it correctly. The next question was related to why is such a big difference in ambulance fee showing in the budget book this year? And that goes back to the newly created IFT fund, which is in a facility transfers fund. Council approved creation of that fund when Chief Dawson presented the plan, and we are trying that now. In the past, the revenues generated from regular ambulance services and the inner facility were combined and reported as one source, one revenue. Now, inner facility is a special revenue fund, so it's been taken out. Yeah. And part of the same question was, what are the other services? So in a summary in the budget book, page 64, there's a summary that I provide, and I give a high-level summary of the sources of revenues and very high-level summary of expenditures. And one of the categories of revenue sources, other services. And Mr. Shelton's question was, what are those? Administrative fees that I just talked about, that is part of that, because it's not a specific to, it's not like a revenue like sales tax or property tax or such. So I'm combining that with just for reporting purposes as others. And then there are maybe 8 or 9 different really small ones like vending machine fees or Rocky Mountain power connecting fees or after hours inspection fees. They're all very small ones that are all lumped together at IS other services. Moving forward, on budget book on page 153, Mr. Shelton pointed out that this is the last year of our water revenue bond payment. And his question related to that was, are we planning on issuing a bond to do future projects? That is a excellent, great question, because if you would remember going back maybe summer, midsummer, late summer, maybe somewhere, we had done water rate study as well as the water impact fee study. And Fred from Lewis Young presented that to you. And part of the rate study, we, Jason and Jason's team and all of us, we looked at the options and what needs to be done, what kind of rate we need to have, capital project needs, and all those kind of things. Future projects that increases the capacities and whatnot, that's where the impact fee comes in. You can adjust the impact fee rate to cover for those. However, on the operation side, you can't, and so you have to raise rates. So option was whether to, one of the options was, you could raise the rate to carry out all the capital projects, or you can do some sort of a combination, raise the rate, issue the bond. So in this scenario, issuing the bond for capital projects made sense, where we already have that payment built into our structure, and then when it expires, so the capacity of that bond payment, the principal and interest payment, you can issue that much bond, and you really won't see rate increase or differences, and you can carry out those projects. According to my estimate, that bond payment, debt services payment, has a capacity of about $25 to $27 million of bonds. So the rate then study calls for issuing a bond up to that amount to do the project. Now, by doing so, you wouldn't have to raise the water rates. Otherwise, you would increase the water rate considerably and collect that revenue over 4 or 5 years, meantime using your fund balance and pretty much depleting your fund balance and having no rainy day fund within the water fund left. So, and we didn't want to go there. So, as far as the timing, so that this is the last payment, 2025, I will be working with Jason and his team to figure out what would be the best timing when they want to start the project and time it such that we have the funding in place. And typically bonding takes about 4 months, 4 to 6 months. Okay. And the other question, okay, so maybe I'll try to pull this chart because it's referencing to a chart and it will be, let's see, maybe if I can, I don't know if I can do this. If you can switch to my screen, Phil. Okay, so this is one of the chart, and this particular chart here. So this particular chart over here, you will see that all over, everywhere in the budget book where we have capital projects. So you look at this is a high-level summary in here, culinary water project, secondary water project. So in this budget is proposing a little over $5 million worth of capital projects in the water, culinary water. And so the question here is, well, if the council approves this budget, how does that, that's a capital project. So if that capital projects were approved and completed, how does that impact the operations of the city? So I'm going to say if the council approves 10 pickleball courts, right, and it's $1 million, but that's the capital cost. Now the question is, how does that impact the operations? So we know the recreation or parks or whoever it is running may need another person. So that becomes a operational cost. So we are trying to, as best as we can, approximate that number. So in the budgetary side, our departments can ask for that extra operational increase when, you know, the project is completed. Or maybe it could be absorbed within the current budget. So whatever it is, I mean, you can see here it's a very minimal year-by-year increase in operational costs, so most likely they're not going to ask for that until at some point when that cost is considerable and they'll come. So this chart tries to depict that. Once we approved a capital project, how would that impact our operational side of things?
So, I mean, that's literally $183.
It is.
I was just surprised to see such low numbers.
Yeah. Some of them, you know, some of them, if you put a brand new water pipe, you know, for 20 years or, you know, 15 years, I don't know, whatever the life of that water pipe is, you're not going to do anything with it, right? But, you know, but because you dug that piece of, I don't know, ground, you may have some maintenance on the top. Oh, I don't know, you know, mowing because now you have a grass or whatever. So we tried to go, our departments tried to go and calculate what that impact may be. Now, some of the impact, if you would look at in the capital project side, it will definitely have a higher impact. So depending on what projects there are.
Sure.
So, okay, so next. okay, this is another interesting question. It was interesting to me that Mr. Shelton and I looked in that detail and was able to pick that. I was impressed. So his question is, what caused our equity in Transjordan landfill to increase? Not too many people asked me that question, but he asked me that question.
Can you repeat the question?
What caused our equity in the Transjordan landfill to increase?
The thing that was interesting to me about that, Sunil, is that it's shown as a revenue item. And so I'm trying to wrap my head around how did our equity increase and now we're getting more revenue somehow, or or are we actually showing the equity increase as revenue?
Right. So in general, the increase in equity could be via multiple reasons. One, because of increase in assets, right? Number two, it could be because there was an increase in income, in revenues.
At the landfill.
At the Transjordan landfill.
Yeah.
And we are part owners of Transjordan landfill. So every year, when they do their financials, they calculate the increase or decrease in their net position. And then they give us their audited financial statements so we can see. And then we can calculate our portion of the increase. Some years, there were a few years back that we actually saw a decrease in equity. But, you know, the majority of the time, of the years, we have seen increase in equity. This last year, they had over $3.5 million in increased income. Probably because of landfill, people using whatever the reason, I don't know. But their revenue, their income increased over $3.5 million. And so our portion of that prior to contributions came out to that amount. So when we record that, as a increase in revenue, followed by investment in our company, which is Transjordan Landfill. So we don't see any cash, but we do recognize that as a revenue. And
so you're showing it as a revenue item, but there's actually no money coming into the city.
Right. And then because we turn around and reinvest it into the system directly there and doesn't flow through us. Yeah. But it's a book entry only.
Okay.
So, the purpose of that is, if it was a different company, say, for example, and we were at equity in it, and it was sold, that would be our portion cash coming back. So it's a little interesting how that works, but there's no cash coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was thinking. But alas, we're not getting any of that money coming to us.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good
increase
chunk,
in equity in the landfill.
Yeah. That's like a half a million dollars. Okay. So, then you asked couple of questions on Mulligan's projects, I had a chance to talk to Janelle and her team. They're working on it. They have a plan, and they're planning on presenting those and their business plan and their project plan, sometime later this year to the council. But as far as they do have a couple of projects that they are based on their plan. They're working on towards. And trying to see what makes more sense, what would be most beneficial for Mulligan's operations in terms of their business plan.
Okay.
The next question was, what are the going back to the another brand new fund that we created this year, which was the Internal Service Fund, and that Internal Service Fund was due to us getting away or getting out of Irma and becoming self-insured, right? And so before, when we were part of Irma, we were reporting all our liability insurance payments, all those different recaptured losses and surety bonds and all those kind of things all in the risk management budget within general fund. So now, now that we have a internal service fund, separate fund, we just moved all those expenditures under that fund. So you have the surety bonds, you have claims and losses, you'll have.
Is that fund shown in the budget book?
Yes.
Somehow I missed it, I guess.
So that would be. Let's see if I can. The internal service funds are classified as an enterprise fund. And so, right, and maybe towards the end of enterprise fund, if I can just quickly scroll there. Mulligan's, SAP, right there.
Self-insurance.
So self-insurance fund.
There's the transfer, okay.
Yeah, so that money is coming from general fund. What we have budgeted.
But it's showing as an expense.
Yes.
Am I seeing that right?
Yes. So you see the transfers, the revenues, transfers in on the
but
top.
It's a contribution to fund balance. Is that right?
No. So this. I'll show you just a sec. So this number over here, that's the revenue coming from general fund, transferring from general fund.
Yeah.
Followed by all these expenses. So that revenue, the transfer coming in from general fund will cover those operating expenses.
Okay.
And those operating expenses, I mean, this is not separated, but if you were to separate it, you know, for example, property insurance will be a couple of hundred thousand dollars. Recapture, you will have liability insurance and all those kind of things.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, we don't know. I don't know really the exact amount or what it will cost. We are still in the process. We started this process. It will be effective July 1, and our brokers are still negotiating and going after different companies to provide those insurance for us. And we have not finalized that yet. And once that happens, then we will know the exact cost.
So it's probably change.
It will change. It will definitely change. This is the budget that we had when we were part of Irma. And so I'm just you know, literally moving that money from there to here for now. But as soon as it comes July or, you know, mid-year, you will see a budget amendment for that to cover.
All right.
Okay. You saw the debt bond schedules or bond that has been issued.
Appreciate you putting that in there.
Yeah. And your other question is: Are we through converting streetlights? Yes, we are done converting from, you know, to LED lights. However, we do have some Rocky Mountain Power light poles that are owned by them that Jason and their team is trying to systematically work with Rocky Mountain and acquire those, so we own it and then we can convert them into the similar lights that we have, LEDs and whatnot. According to Jason, we have about 700 of those, and it will take few years to go through the process and acquire and finish that part. But all of the city lights are done, yes.
Well, it's been a budget line item ever since I've been here, and I was just surprised to see it at zero.
Can you touch on the Rocky Mountain Power? I mean, with those lights, I mean, what does that mean for us to acquire those? What is it?
Jason, do you want to?
So we're... Rocky Mountain Power doesn't take the greatest care of the ones that they own, and we pay them a monthly fee. So we decided a few years ago that we were going to slowly start acquiring those from Rocky Mountain. So we pay them a small fee, and then we end up replacing the fiberglass poles with our standard pole that we put in neighborhoods.
Okay.
So
we're pulling it out, putting a new one in.
Yeah, so okay. we're going to we'll save some money through the end because we pay more than it costs us to operate and maintain a street light, but it'll take a little while to pay back the cost of installing a new one.
Okay.
So some of them just got really, really bad and they're not willing to maintain them. So that's why we're going through and acquiring them and replacing them.
Okay, thank you.
I actually love that we're doing that.
Yeah, it keeps it looking nice.
Good. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really good.
And the last question you had, Mr. Shelton, is about the equipment fund. I did realize after your question that the entire fleet budget, the funding was lumped into one and wasn't separated by general police and fire. And so there is a police equipment, there is fire equipment.
In that number.
In that bottom $4 million number, yes, oh, okay. Yes. So, but before the budget is finalized, I will move that so it's shown separately. But almost close to $1 million is police vehicles and about $2 million worth of fire vehicles.
Yeah. It just seemed like a lot of money.
Yes. I should have separated it, but. The last thing I wanted to, that was all the questions Mr. Shelton had. I appreciate him going through, and those are great information. The last thing I wanted to mention is, you know, as part of this budget, we also adopt the tax rate. The tax rate in this proposal is that we will adopt the rate calculated by the tax commission. And as we all know, that is a process that's the valuation is captured by the county, and then the rate is calculated by the tax commission, and they give it to us, and whether we accept it or not, if we don't accept it, then basically we are saying we want to raise the taxes, and then we go through truth in taxation process, and we have to have that finalized by August 17th. If not, then we have to have this rate adopted, budget adopted by June. Anyway, so I looked at the information in the county on the tax commission side. There's nothing available there. They have not done anything yet. But so I thought, well, I'm going to see where we might end up. My estimate is that our tax rates will go down and would be somewhere but close to 0.01, 2.0, 2.1, 2.2, 3.0, maybe somewhere there. Because we are still growing, and so that we will see the tax rates go down. Tax rates, as we all know, generates the same amount of tax revenues that we have received last year, plus the new growth. So when the tax rate is calculated, you have your last year's revenue, that where we want to get to, and then you have your taxable values minus the new growth in RDAs, and then rate is calculated, and then whatever that rate is multiplied by the new growth, then that's added to our revenues. For the last 5, 7, almost 10 years, I think our new growth has been around $500,000. I'm going to stop talking now, and if you have any more questions, I'll be happy to answer or anything else. And we can have a public hearing and then answer questions from there.
Awesome. Let's do that. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to open the public hearing on Resolution R-2023-24, adopting a final budget, making appropriations for the support of the City of South Jordan for the fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2023, and ending June 30th, 2024. And determining the rate of tax and levying taxes upon all real and personal property within South Jordan City, Utah, made taxable by law for the year 2023. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak? Or is there anyone online that would like to speak?
That's interesting. Apropos.
All right, seeing none, we will close this public hearing and turn to the council and see if anyone has any additional questions for Mr. Naidoo or for anyone else.
I just had one clarification question on the fleet, on that $4 million. Sunil, does that number contemplate, you know, the selling of the existing vehicles on the public surplus auction site? And is that the difference? Is the $4 million, or is that accounted separately?
That is all part of the funding of those vehicles, yes. So when I make funding available, that's the net of the funding.
It's the net of it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, that's all the question I had.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Not sure what's happening. That's a Freudian slip down. Somebody's getting a little excited. Trunky. No, it's good. Thank you very much. Okay, appreciate that. All right, I will ask if there's a motion on Resolution R-2023-24. Adopting a final budget, making appropriations for the support of the City of South Jordan for the fiscal year commencing July 1, 2023 and ending June 30th, 2024, and determining the rate of tax and levying taxes upon all real and personal property within South Jordan City, Utah, made taxable by law for the year 2023.
I'll move to approve Resolution 2023-24 as you have stated.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any additional discussion?
I just am grateful to our staff for taking something that's really complex and making it so that I can almost understand it. That's great. And I really appreciate your efforts. For sure.
They do an outstanding job. Really. Thank you. Months and months of work. A whole year. You start. You'll start again. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. If not, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Put you in the corner.
GKRFUs. We have a soundproof
room. Okay.
Let's try that again. That's okay. Budget hearings can get a little bit, you know.
Rowdy.
Well, yeah. We're just spicing it up. Good job.
9-year-old. When's that senior class happening about cell phones?
I thought that's his way of telling me I'm talking too much.
Yeah, he's like, you're done. Here's the music, you know, whether you're done or not. All right, Mrs. Crookston, please lead us from the beginning in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, thank you all to our staff for all of your work on this budget, all the work that goes into this. Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask for a motion to recess City Council meeting and move us to the Redevelopment Agency meeting.
Madam Mayor, so moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, welcome to the Redevelopment Agency meeting for the City of South Jordan. We have a public hearing on item G4, Resolution RDA 2023-02, adopting a final budget for the Redevelopment Agency of the City of South Jordan, Utah for the fiscal year 2023-2024. We will turn again to our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. RDA is really simple. There's nothing else going on right now other than just the old RDAs, you know, commitments, tax increment commitments that we receive and just pay to our developers, and that's all it is for now. I don't have anything else unless you have specific questions on that.
Okay, so. Thank you. We'll open the public hearing and then we'll do questions. Thank you. I'm going to open the public hearing on Resolution RDA 2023-02, adopting a final budget for the Redevelopment Agency of the City of South Jordan, Utah for the fiscal year 2023-2024. Is there anyone in person that would like to speak? Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we will close this public hearing and turn to this board to see if any of you have any questions. All right. Seeing none, I'll ask if there's a motion on Resolution RDA 2023-02, adopting a final budget for the Redevelopment Agency of the City of South Jordan, Utah for the fiscal year 2023-2024.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we approve Resolution RDA 2023-02, as you stated.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? Okay, Mrs. Crookston, will you please lead us in a roll call vote? I'm like, your title's still the same.
Mr. Harris?
Yes.
Ms. Zander?
Yes.
Mr. Marler?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
And Mr. McGuire?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. I will now ask for a motion to adjourn the Redevelopment Agency meeting and return us to our regular City Council meeting.
So moved.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Welcome back. We are back to the regular City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Mr. Naidu, thank you, and your team, and all of the team, thank you for your efforts on this. Appreciate that. Item H, staff reports and calendaring items. We'll turn first to Mr. Lewis.
I just have two items tonight. The first is I wanted to recognize Chief Carr. I learned earlier this week that he has been selected by the Chiefs of Police to represent the City of South Jordan on a new committee that is being formed for the safety of our kids in the schools. I don't know all of the details, Chief. I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that. This is a great thing for our city. We have a long history of working closely with the school district, and it's a great thing for us to continue our efforts to not only work with the Jordan School District, but with school districts around the state. Chief, do you want to tell them a little bit more about what you'll be doing on that committee?
Sure. House Bill 61 by Ryan Wilcox creates this task force, and there's several things the task force is going to do, including to develop the qualification duties and scope of authority of the state security chief. And we will also be looking at many aspects of school resource officers. Lieutenant Pennington had done a lot of work during the legislative session on this, advising Representative Wilcox on this bill. And we felt that we needed to stay involved. And the chiefs of police have two representatives, and the sheriffs have two representatives on this task force. And I think we're supposed to start in a couple of weeks and move through December. I believe we're supposed to have everything done. So we'll keep you updated on the major aspects of that. But Jordan School District's one of the bigger school districts in the state. I think they've taken the lead in a lot of school safety measures. We've led the effort in Avoid, Deny, Defend, and training all of over 5,000 employees. We're revamping that to do a newer version of that. And we met with all of the school principals or administrators of all the schools in South Jordan at the beginning of the school due to the Uvalde incident, and went over what the security plans were that the district had put together. We met with district folks. So we've done a lot of work in this area. We think it's very important, obviously. And we look forward to having an impact and have some input into what this task force does.
Thank you, Chief, and congratulations. The next item, you heard Councilman McGuire mention that he had participated in some of the arts master planning efforts that have been going on. That group would like to meet specifically with you all on the council and gather some input. And so I've carved out some time on our next work session on May 16th. They will be here at that meeting to solicit some of the input from you and get your comments. I figured that was the easiest way to get you all together to participate with them. So have that on your calendars. Along with that, I wanted to give some time to Director Payne. She has some information she needs to share with you about Summerfest, which is just 4 weeks away, some of the things that you should probably be aware of that they're working on and where your involvement will be needed. So, Director Payne.
Thank you. There is a lot going on right now in preparations for Summerfest, and I have schedules between the operations group and then just what's going out to the public all jumbled in my head. So I will get with Melanie and make sure that you have everything in your calendar appropriately for the schedule of activities. But I did want to just highlight real quick, based on your feedback at a study session we had back in the fall, winter, that we're moving forward with a parade preview event on Tuesday, May 30th at Highland Park out in the Daybreak area. And we have some floats and entries that will be up there highlighted. We'll be promoting the rest of the Summerfest activities at City Park and encouraging people to attend there. We'll have the dunk team that was at Spring Spectacular, some kite flying activities, and then windmill craft for families as well. So we just encourage you to come to that. It'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. on the 30th.
I think we'll need more candy. With
we bought more.
Yeah, good. With that many, I think there's going to be a lot of people in attendance.
So the 6 to 8 PBM is just all residents can come and just kind of mix and mingle.
Yep, but Highland Park.
Floating, or the parade is still Saturday morning.
Yeah, the parade's still Saturday. This is a preview event where we'll have some entries there for people to look at our float, obviously, and some characters so they can get pictures in front of it and interact with them as well. So.
And did you say there'll be food trucks?
Food trucks, yes.
Oh, they love those.
Yeah.
Yep, good.
Yep.
Bill, are you listening?
And you said this is which night? The
Tuesday the 30th.
That's going to be a busy day for
that
us.
That will be a very busy day, but what a great opportunity.
I guess we'll just
so we'll have everyone
our Sojo swag and walk around.
It'll be a busy day.
Yeah, we have something every day that week except for Monday. So
it'll be a holiday.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Do you need our help with anything at that?
At that one, no, just your support, coming out and having fun. Tell people about it. We want to have a good crowd there. And then the specific activities like chalk art judging and things like that we'll have lined up on your calendars as well.
And that's Saturday.
Saturday, yep.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Rachel, are we going to have some posts put out soon telling the public that this is a new thing on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have all of our stuff. So just before council,
just before council, you might have seen the promo video that just went out. We got that done recently. So we're going to have a promotion, a general promotion video that's out now. And then our e-newsletter is going out momentarily, so that'll have some information about Summerfest, and then you'll just start seeing it. You're going to get spammed a little bit, probably.
Could you do us a favor? I would love to know. It is the 30th is a Tuesday, yeah. Would you tee us up, Rachel, when you put some of those big things out and we can share them on our personal social media?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Great. Glad to hear
it's
it.
Great.
That's
thank
awesome.
You.
Great.
Great.
I believe that's all I have for you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Really quickly, before I move on, thank you for that. And congratulations, Chief. I cannot think of anybody better to represent the chiefs of police on that. Really, thank you.
Awesome.
That's exactly where we need you. And it's a whole nother commission to be part of, another a bunch more meetings. Thank you for your willingness to do it. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Watcott.
Yeah. Ryan and I had the pleasure of going to a special luncheon for the mayor and her celebrating her graduation from college, a major milestone in your life accomplished.
Thank you.
And that was a lot of fun. We were able to be with a fine group of people, and Ryan did some shopping, and we were able to give the mayor a gift. It was a lot of fun, and hope you enjoyed it, Mayor. It was fun to be there at that event, so thank you for inviting us. It was fun.
I have a really cool new bag now, and I got some great compliments
to you, by
on
the
that
way.
Today.
It's a great feeling to have that off your back, isn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah. One of these days,
think
we've
all been there.
I like kind of collapse, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not really functioning today. It's because it'll catch up with me, but for now, I'm good. Thank you.
Congratulations to you, and it was a fun event, so thanks.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Luce, anything for us?
Echo the congratulations. It's kind of a big deal, so.
Thank you.
Didn't you start college the same year you ran for mayor?
Before I ran for mayor, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
They were not related.
Life choices there.
The timing was also very much not.
So I just want to share a conversation I had today with some people at League, Cameron and Justin, and very quickly, because this goes to all the accolades and all the deservedly so compliments to our staff that does a lot with the League. But one of the things we were talking about is who should attend what meetings and stuff. And many of the cities will not allow their staff to be as involved, because they need them home, and they won't share them because they may have to commit more resources and stuff, and committees like the one that Chief was just pointed to, and obligations like these take time and effort, and Rachel had to leave for a day or two to go down to the conference she wouldn't otherwise be at, and things like that. And so I just want to say thank you for allowing us to do that. One, it helps us professionally, obviously, but two, it It allows us to be in many conversations that otherwise we wouldn't be, that help us in what we do at the legislature and other places. And I think a lot of times we forget that part of it, but for you allowing staff to be involved in this, and many, many cities don't. I mean, there's very few that are represented that way. We wouldn't have those opportunities. So with that, I'm going to the municipal attorneys meeting, and one of the things we're going to talk about in the closed meeting is that, but there's a lot of legal things going on with social media and other stuff. I've sent you some articles. Please watch those. They're going to be Supreme Court cases. The reason I want you to watch those and be aware of them is that it may affect what your social media accounts are deemed the way you use them. Some of the courts are deeming if you do any public stuff on them, that becomes a public forum, and therefore you cannot block people. You cannot use it as your personal account. It does become a public account. And so those are things that are working their ways through our court. So as you use your personal stuff, think about that. And if you have two or three or however you set it up differently, your personal from your business, from your council or your elected place, especially as we go into elections, those are all deemed different unless you commingle them, at which time the courts will just make a decision. So you got to think about that. That's all I had, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll be attending the Municipal Attorneys Association conference for the first time as well, but only for an hour and a half. I've been asked to present as part of a three-member panel there. So if any of you have any input on what you, as elected officials in our city, would like to get or see done, or what you want from our city attorney, pretty much my answer is just keep us out of jail. And, you know, Ryan never lets us have conversations, like fun conversations, but we appreciate that he's such a letter of the law kind of guy, you know. So anyway, if you have any feedback on that, I got like a couple of days barely. So, you know, pass it along, and I'm happy to pass along those thoughts, because it'll be a privilege to represent our city and talk about what we as an elected body want from and appreciate in our city attorney, because he is very good and highly respected, and it's a great opportunity to be an example. So if you have any feedback, let me know. All right, anybody else? No? Anyone over here? Nothing for us? No? Okay. All right. You sure? It looks like you're thinking about it.
She's perky.
Okay.
She's looking in. Excited to go.
I know. It's just like, are we done? Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, then I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to close session?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
The adjourning part does sound
fun. I'm going to ask for a motion to go into closed session for the discussion of potentially imminent litigation.
So moved, Mary.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right. Thank you all for being here.